Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Pop Culture Stars. Good start to the evening. I have my lovely wife Dale doing the British Lady Countdown for me, so that was a good start. So welcome to Pop Culture Stars. Episode 8, Starlog date 6/16/21. Going to be our big Dad's Day special. The original plan, though, was to do the movie, do a review about that new film about constipation, but it hasn't come out yet. So what we're going to do, yes, Dad Day jokes are already getting it. We are going to be covering Dad's Day tonight, and we're going to be passing around some dad advice, some dad stories, and some dad jokes, most importantly. So instead of talking about the weather like we usually do, by God, we've got plenty of jokes to get in on, so we've got to get busy, boys and girls. So, all that being said,
hello.
We're going to pass it around. Hey, well, there we go. I will start the introduction of our panel with the Carolina Wrestling Hall of Fame inductee, the amazing Jeez. Zone. How are you doing, brother?
Good, man. I almost didn't make it.
Yeah, you're running a little late. You got a note from your
teacher?
Well,
yeah. Got graduation tomorrow. We've been running around town all day. And my daughter got a senior award. She got a senior award as well.
That's awesome,
yeah.
Man. Seriously, that's awesome.
Yep.
Outstanding.
Congratulations. That's outstanding.
Yep. Christina is a really, really great baby girl. Not a baby anymore. But she's done good. She'll turn 18 in August.
August when?
And the twins will be 25 in September.
When
so,
does
yeah.
your daughter turn 18 in August?
He just said August.
On the 4th.
Okay. My birthday is the 29th of August, so.
Okay. Yeah,
oh,
it's
man.
Running around, man. All right, keep going.
Well, before you hit the board, I hope you brought your dad jokes, because we're going to be lighting them up like I just lit this delicious cigar from Godfather Cigars this evening. Shameless plug. So, Todd Saxon, my brother in arms, how are you doing this evening?
Oh, so that's how it's going to be. That's fine. good evening, everyone. I am doing outstanding, the supernatural, and I am ecstatic to be here. I hope everyone is doing well. Beautiful evening up here in the greater Indianapolis area. Man, it is. It is actually really a darn fine evening. Cardinal out there chirping, making a bunch of noise. The pleasant evening. And the nice thing is the mosquitoes up here, unlike North Carolina, it does not require a shotgun to handle them. Just saying. Let me go ahead and pass a little bit of word real quick. Our other co-host, Tim, will not be on this evening. He is tending to his better half. Her surgery's gone pretty well. Everything there, they, you know, had all the early anxiety afterwards. She's been home since Saturday. She even managed to go sit out on the porch for a little bit yesterday. She's just having a less than good day today, but other than that, she's doing well. That should about do it for Todd. I'm going to hand this thing over to our Arkansas outlaw, Granny Austin.
Well, I'm not an outlaw, people, okay? Just saying, I'm not an outlaw, but I'm doing well. It's another hot day in Springdale, Arkansas. It's been in the upper 90s the past few days, and I don't like the heat, so I don't do well with the heat. Give me cooler
question.
Temperatures, and I'm a happy person. It's too
I
hot
have a question.
For me, so.
I have a question
yeah.
for Granny. How close are you to Magnolia, Arkansas?
Probably, I'm trying to remember where Magnolia is at. That's down in the central part of Arkansas, right?
At the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, it's probably at least 2 or 3 hours, because I'm 3 hours from Little Rock.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, my sister-in-law has to frequent there for her job, and she gets there. There's nothing there. The closest Starbucks is 75 miles from her, and she has to go into a construction trailer to have 6 a.m. meetings on this site. So she used to do military contracting. Now she's not doing that. She's doing something else with another company. So she has to go out there, and they have their meetings, and she says she has to carry her own pods with her.
I've heard of Magnolia. I don't think I've ever been there, but, you know.
You can, trust me, you'll get
I've
lost.
I've heard of it.
It'll be like cabin in the, it'll be like cabin in the woods. You might disappear.
Yeah.
Yeah, it ain't Google Maps. When the Google satellite won't go, you know you're desperate, you know.
Listen,
okay,
I laugh every time
Velvet,
she goes.
Actually, Velvet, it's like 5 hours for me to Magnolia.
Yeah.
So it's further than Little Rock. So
okay.
I thought it was, but I wasn't sure.
Right. That's cool.
Like 5 hours and 10 minutes for me, so.
All right. Good question. Let's roll this thing.
Absolutely. It's good to have everybody aboard tonight, and best wishes to Tim and his wife, of course, speedy recovery
absolutely.
And everything. Yeah,
absolutely, for sure.
We all know that. So tonight we're going to be doing our Dad's Day special. And, yes, I call it Dad's Day because Father's Day, you know, anybody could be a father, you know, dozen strokes and a lame apology, and then you drop a check in the mail on the 30th of every month. That's being a father. But being a dad is a whole different story. Being a dad is all about having a great short game in golf, having a good sense of humor, having can sport a pair of New Balance sneakers and look like the man. That's what being a dad's all about. So before we press forward into our dad stories, dad advice, and dad jokes, I'd say, if everything's working out I've got a surprise. I've got a surprise for you. We have another panelist tonight.
Uh-oh.
Okay. And Velvet.
Yeah.
I know you and I know Granny have yet to meet this gentleman, but I could tell
cool.
you that Todd and myself have been able to witness gentleman in dad action many times before. He's very near and dear
cool.
to our hearts. And if everything's worked cool. out good, he's been patiently waiting for me to introduce him. So hopefully I haven't screwed this up because it's all been under the totally covert. So, none other than the fantastic, standing, and one hell of a good man, I think the world of, Mr. Jeff Lessie. How are you doing this evening?
Oh, man, are you talking to me? I heard all those good things. I thought you were introducing somebody else.
Well, he wasn't talking about Todd, that's for sure. Well, go ahead.
You know, Jeff knows that's fine.
You said gentlemen, and I just about hung up because I figured I was on the wrong call.
Are you saying you're not – this is Granny Holster, Jeff. Are you saying you're not a gentleman?
Oh, boy.
Well, I don't say that, but a lot of people do. So you hear it enough times, I reckon you still believe it.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what, listen, I agree with what Dave said. You know, anybody can be a father. Not everybody can be a dad. And I think I will say this. I mean, not to bring the room down right away up front, but when my son was born, my first child was born, one of the things I read was that when a child's born, the mother and the child are really the same being, you know, they're literally the same creature. And so the dad is actually the child's first introduction to the rest of the world. And that's an important thing. So actually, to be honest with you, I do try to be a gentleman, and I try to teach my kids to be good people too, and to have a sense of humor, and to look good.
Definitely, and that was why I was so tickled to death that you were able to join us tonight, brother. Because I have seen you in action, and I got to tell you, you set one hell of an example for your family, and you got a great delivery to it too. You know, me growing up military, I was always instructed to do something upon the threat of demolished bones and whatnot. And not to say that's the wrong way to do it. That's just the military style of doing it. But I have actually seen you teach Jake and Sarah and everything, and you actually set forth examples, and you got a great delivery to it, man. And that's the reason why, you know, you're a success, your family's a success, and you know, both of your children are fantastic. And hell, they're not even really children now, because, I mean, it's...
That shift doesn't fail.
Yeah, because I was just thinking about it earlier today, that it's been coming up on 7 years since I met you guys. And it doesn't seem like it, but,
yep.
You know, you got to tack 7 years onto the kids, and you're like, good grief, Sarah's getting ready to drive. So, but my thought, Jeff, if you would, just give us a little bit about yourself, and don't be afraid. It's an open forum. Cut loose, say whatever you got to say, but let us get to know Jeff.
Don't be afraid, honey. Don't be afraid. It's all scary. Scary in the beginning, but it calms down, I promise.
No, look, as long as I'm not on cable news, I can say whatever I want. But let me start by saying this, first of all. Thank you. Let me say this.
Wait a minute. Okay, Granny, hold on before you get really rolling, Jeff. I got a question. Did Chrissy give you a script?
She absolutely did not.
Wow.
I'm the only person.
Come on,
I'm the only person. I am the only person in this part of the country she has not given a script to.
That's funny.
She is to make that work. By the way, that what I just said, you guys have to know she's a screenwriter. And Todd, I thank you for bringing it up for the plug. She's a screenwriter. She's an award-winning nickel screenwriter. And my claim to fame, other than being, I guess, token dad on this podcast, is just being her husband and carrying the heavy boxes. Granny, I got to say this, go Chiefs.
Yeah, yeah.
This man has, I got this man already.
Oh. He's got good taste. He likes to say,
if he says he likes Hulk Hogan, I'm hanging up.
Yeah.
We
know his taste is limited. He called into this show, so.
Oh.
Oh.
Holy crap.
Yeah, that being said, Jeff, that's your PayPal account and except the now, Jeff, of course, you are a pretty damn decent drummer also, if you don't mind leaning in all. You're still playing drums, right?
Yeah, don't beat around
the
floor.
You know, I am. I will tell you, we just moved down here to the Hilton Head area, so they've been packed up for a little bit, but... yeah, mission two after putting food on the table is finding out where the local jams are. So if you guys know of anything in the Hilton Head area, shoot me an email. I'll be glad to go check it out.
I can work on that for you. My brother-in-law is a bassist. He does both electric and he does the full-fledged orchestra bass as well.
Oh, nice.
He's in a party band called 17 South. He's in several other bands. He's a freelance, but his main gig is 17 South. I can get you in touch with him, and y'all can go from there if you'd like. He's hip in all what's going on in the area. And possibly, you know, might get you a gig out of that, you know, even with him, because I think at some point he's trying to put something together himself. I don't know. But his daughter also plays bass, and she's actually been playing in like the – she played in the Denver Orchestra. She played in L.A. She played in Miami. And she just finished in St. Louis, and now she's playing it. She was playing at the orchestra here in Charleston, but that season part is over, so she's just gigging right now. So, yeah.
Right, right.
I can hook you up with all of that.
Yeah, man. Well, Dave's got all my contact info. Feel free to shoot over whatever you got, man. That's awesome.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Because, absolutely.
Yeah, we've been here, I guess, 3 months maybe.
Okay.
So we're just getting our feet on the ground here. Yeah, but it's a beautiful area.
Yeah.
I'm actually in Okotie, not out in not on the island. So
I'm out where
the real people live.
Yeah. Right. He ain't lying. He's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And Todd,
absolutely. I was going to say, Todd, it's good to talk to you. You're out there bringing culinary sophistication to the good people of Indiana.
Yeah. Well, they are having to deal with me up here, Jeff. It's been a ride, brother. It's been a ride. I started my fourth year. I don't know how all this happened. It was a long time coming, but I'm living the dream.
Outstanding. Well, I love to hear that. We miss you in North Carolina, but, man, I'm glad to hear things are going well for you.
Thanks, brother. I was just thinking about it when, Dave announced you were on the show and stuff, and I was remembering we were down there in Wilmington at one of the cons,
mm-hmm.
and you were not at Chrissy's side. I was like, what's up? Well, little man was feeling not so good. And so you were running and doing food back and forth, and thing to tell the story a little bit, how you had called Chrissy and asked her what she needed for chow. She said, it's okay, Todd's here, and you already knew it was the cookies.
That's right.
But you did bring the little ones by later and getting to do the introduction. And I remember here, I asked, hey, feeling better? I barely remember my kid's names. I'm not going to remember yours, too. And he was like, how do you know I wasn't feeling good? He was just such a little gentleman, though. That was awesome. That was so cool that it was a point was made for that introduction. And I just, I don't know, it's one of those many humbling things about the circuit. I appreciate you guys more than you know.
Listen, I'm going to tell you this. There's family, there's dads. Dads are biological, but they're also not biological, And so what I take from that memory, because I remember it too, is the fact that even though I couldn't be there with Chrissy going into the start of that event, I knew you guys were there. And to me, that's what family's all about. It's about, looking after each other, taking care of each other. I tell my kids all the time, family helps family. And that's not always blood. You know what I mean? That whoever you got around you that you can count on, that's your family. And I count all you guys in that. And, in fact, Velvet and Granny, I count you guys in that as well now. So be prepared.
Well, thank
you. Send you my Christmas gift.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, since we're all family now, if you guys could loan me $100, that'd be great.
Yeah.
As Todd would say, checks in the mail.
Yeah.
That's right. Exactly. I was just trying to think. Yeah, just send me a pre-filled out check,
gotcha.
And I'll try.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm
love
so
it.
Broke, I can't even afford the free stuff.
Do-do-do.
You like that, huh? I'm going to have to post that Louis C.K. thing on YouTube where he talks about being broke. It is absolutely hilarious because he talks about how the bank calls him up and says, we just want to let you know that your bank account dropped below $15 and that there will be a penalty established if it doesn't go back up. And he says, you don't think I don't know I have less than 15 bucks? And now you're going to turn around and find him for it? But he goes on and on about the banking system, and it's absolutely hilarious. And if you've ever been down and out, be it for a day, a week, or a year, man, it's so relatable because it's just spot on. But going to the dad thing, and Jeff, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask if Chrissy, Jake, and Sarah are doing fantastic. I would imagine they're doing all right.
You know what? Yes, absolutely. I'm glad you asked. This area is awesome where I live. And, of course, I'm not going to throw out addresses or anything like that due to the somewhat famous nature of my spouse. But it's a beautiful area. But we moved in. One of the first things we saw was something we hadn't seen in a while, which is there's kids running all over the neighborhood. I saw a bunch of kids, this is no joke, I saw a bunch of kids just ride up to a house on their bike, throw all their bikes down in the yard, they walked, and they just ran into this house, right? And they're all going to play. There's other kids going around doing different things. But the neighbors in this area, it's a little cul-de-sac that I'm on. They'll drag a fire pit out in the cul-de-sac in the summertime, and then everybody will just bring out camp chairs, and they just sit out there, and the kids run around and play. And you know, my wife looked at me and she said, where have we moved to? And I said, I think 1985.
that sounds like a legitimate old school neighborhood.
It's gorgeous inside out. It's a lot of heart. They've got a text group here. You know, it's all the neighbors are on a group text. And they will literally just be like, hey, I need an onion for my, you know, pasta sauce. And someone will bring them an onion from the neighborhood. It's just, it's fantastic. Dave, I sidetracked from your question. Chrissy is doing absolutely awesome. The kids just finished up virtual school for the year. So they're looking forward to, you know, relaxing more than usual. So, thanks for asking. I'm going to let them know. That you were looking after them.
Absolutely.
Hey,
and they're a fantastic group.
Hang on a second. Jeff, welcome to South Carolina, number one. Number two.
Thank you.
That will change in a matter of a couple more months when the rest of the Ohioans figure out that you're in a great place to live. So, and then it's done. It's over.
Well, I think that you're not wrong.
I know.
What I'm seeing more honestly is New Jersey and New York, but, you know, pick your place. They're all coming.
How you doing, huh? I'm in witness protection program, huh? How you doing? My name is David. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the name they gave me. I'm sorry. Stefano Gabbari, Jr., huh? How you doing? Oh, crap. They're going to have to move me again. I said my name. Dang it.
Well, I got a really quick question for Jeff. When he said, go Chiefs, how did he have any clue that I was a Chiefs fan? No, seriously.
Dave,
I mean, he must
Dave
have
did
ESP.
It. Dave's fault.
He must be.
Dave's
he
fault.
Must have ESP. Oh, Dave. Okay, I was just curious. I'm like, I don't even know this guy. He knows that I love the Kansas City Chiefs. That's pretty
Dave's
impressive.
Fault.
No, he works for the NSA. He scoped everybody out before he started.
Oh, gee, okay. Well, I just thought it was impressive that he was like, go Chiefs, you know. Like,
hey,
how did he know I like Kansas City?
if that's the case, Todd, I got warrants. I got to go.
Now, Granny, I can take no credit. Mr. Lessie does his own recon and his own studying. So he was the one that did all the homework and finding out your team. And
oh, wait a minute.
I will put out a warning to any young man that's out there listening tonight that may someday decide to date Mr. Lesty's daughter. He does have recon. Watch your collecting that.
All right. He's got recon. All right. I'm waiting. What's he got? I'm waiting. You better come with something good, buddy. My turn.
Well, I just thought,
where's
like
the recon
I
at?
Just thought that was very – I thought that was very impressive that he knew what team I liked, you know, so – I was very impressed.
Where's the velvet recon?
I like how long it took you to ask.
Right?
Well, I was just listening to the conversation, you know, so I just figured I'd just throw that in real quick before we got into the dad stories and stuff, you know.
We hadn't got there yet. I want to hear my recon.
I know.
That's it.
That's why I thought I'd throw that question in there real quick.
You did a good job.
Well,
I
will tell you what I tell my kids, Granny, that is that I'm a dad, and dads know everything.
Boom. Wow.
Velvet, I got nothing for you. I mean, the Palmetto State Championship, you know, the Battleground Wrestling, I don't know. Nothing's coming to mind, really.
Okay. I got
you. You might have the worst marketing ever.
I probably do.
It's tough to find anything.
Listen, I'm trying to stay on the low, man.
Yeah.
I told you.
I will say
this. Got warrant, man. What? Go ahead.
I will say this. While I was doing my research on you, I found out how to make the most amazing red velvet cupcake. So.
Right. Exactly.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
That's funny.
Outstanding. I'm telling you, we're off to a damn blazing start, man, and we hadn't even got into the damn meat of the show yet. And that is why.
No.
That is why I'm so tickled to death that Jeff joined us tonight, man, because I knew he was going to bring it up a level. So, with all that said, with it being Dad's Day coming up here, because tonight is Dad's Day Eve, and so... What I'd like to do to open things up, if y'all don't mind, I'm going to read real quick just a blurb of something that I had posted on Facebook 2 years ago for Rob's graduation. And without going through all the chapter and a half that I wrote that day, because I was pretty shook up about my son graduating, but nevertheless, I said I gave him a few pieces of wisdom. And one was, a good name is more important than good credit. Capital One will never know who you are. So if you have a late payment, yeah, that credit score will take a lick. But if you don't keep up your piece to a friend or a family member or a coworker, that credit, that's damn hard to build back. So... always keep a good name, more importantly, the good credit. You interview every day. You interview as a friend. You interview as a spouse, a parent, a brother, a sister, or whatever. You interview every day. And it's the little things you do that leads to having that good name. So keep it in mind. Every day counts, you know. Always look at the big picture and how your decisions will affect the future. And that's something I didn't start doing until my late 20s. The things that I was saying, the things that I was doing, the habits that I had, the way I was operating myself, the way I came across to people, that kind of stuff. There was a lot of good folks I met in my early 20s, and I was so ambitious and so hungry and was so full of it. I went down a lot of legs on my way to the top, and I'm not proud of it. And but looking at the big picture, you would know that maybe perhaps stepping on heads is not the way to get there. So, always look at that big picture. Think 200, 300, 500 years ahead of you, you know. It's a mistake the second time you do it. The first time, it's a lesson. And that, unfortunately, you know, nowadays with the whole cancel culture and everything else going on, it's very, very hard to toe a line when you haven't fallen off of that line, so to speak. Sometimes you have to touch the stove to understand just how damn hot that burner is. So, you know, if you mess something up and you never mess it up again, amen. It's just part of life. It's when you screw something up and turn right back around 3 days later and do the same dumb thing over again. So anybody out there with a half dozen DUIs, that is you. Think about it. So, and the biggest thing out of all these was just try to do good. And at the end of every show, we always cover that in our parting licks and everything. And I remember a movie, John Q, with Denzel Washington in it. And it's another one of those movies that's tough to watch if you're a dad. And, you know, when the wife asks you, you know, are you crying? No, it's seasonal allergies, you know. But, yeah, but it's December.
The Geico commercial.
You know, all right. So, but I remember when they go to roll his son into surgery, I remember he said, just stay away from the bad stuff. And, you know, it's really easy to say, but it's a core value that you take with you anywhere you go. If you see somebody just doing something that you know is not right, there is absolutely nothing wrong with getting up and walking away from it. You don't have to preach them and tell them they're wrong, and you don't have to join in because you feel like you're not going to be cool. Just get up and walk the hell away from the bad stuff. And what's the bad stuff? It's not just drugs and that kind of nifty stuff. Bad stuff is, you know, people who don't make you better. You know, surround yourself with good quality people. Winners never surround themselves with losers. Winners always surround themselves with other winners. Winners don't have a problem with seeing other people win either. There's nothing wrong with being competitive, but it's also being gracious and having a sense of humility and appreciating other people's success. That will push you further on in life. So just want to kind of throw that out for some dad advice right to start with before we get into the barrage of dad jokes, which I'm sure we're all locked and loaded for that. But never
mind. I want to jump on the serious part. No, you talked about humility. Let me tell you, humility is not so much thinking less of yourself. It is often quite simply thinking more of others.
I'll back that up by saying humility doesn't have to be, like Todd said, it doesn't have to be self-deprecating. It's just the knowledge that you don't know everything. It doesn't mean you're not smart. It doesn't mean you don't know a lot of things. It's just the recognition that you don't know it all.
Yep. It's like dealing with respect. Respect is earned. It's not given out like candy at Halloween. You have to earn that, and then you have to earn trust. And when you can do that, then you can be the best you that you need to be.
It's a big thing. Something Dave touched on and made me go right to my wallet. He was talking about doing good for various justifications. I still have a card in my wallet. From when I was on active duty. It's the Honor, Courage, and Commitment card. In the nutshell of that card, it says, do the right thing the right way for the right reason.
Absolutely.
Amen. Amen.
I'll carry it with me.
Yeah, that's... But, you know, that's a big thing that a lot of dads don't... Well, I shouldn't say a lot of fathers aren't there to teach, whereas dads... they don't necessarily teach it, but they may set the example for it. and they're one and the same. And, you know, and don't think for one minute that your children aren't watching every move you make.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
I kind of, you know, if you ever met my dad and then you see me, you can kind of see that. And I never really took credence into it until now, you know, with Rob being 22. Everybody jokes that he's just a big me. He walks like me. He talks like me. He's got the same lousy sense of humor I got. And I'm sure it wasn't hereditary. I'm sure it was all the example I was setting over time. So, yeah, the youngins are watching. So
I think it's funny, Dave, because after I met your dad, one thing I did learn, it definitely skips a generation.
Wow. Thanks, Todd. Now back to you, Dave. Holy crap.
So, Jeff, some fatherly advice. If you were to jump back in time and talk to the Jeff Lethe of 1984, 1988, what would you tell him?
Wow. Don't get the internet, maybe right up front.
Wow.
Seriously.
I'll tell you, we're talking about dads and dad advice and that sort of thing. I think the thing I would try to tell my younger self is that my parents were smarter than I gave them credit for to begin with. They say the older you get, the smarter your parents were. And if I could have recognized that, I think, earlier in life, I would have had a better younger life. So I think, yeah, just trying to convince myself that my parents were worth listening to and knew something that I didn't would probably be the best thing I could come across. And I think the other thing, and it's something I try to tell my kids too, you talk about respect. I think what I would try to tell myself is that to earn respect, you have to show respect.
Right.
And so you can't fall back and say, well, that guy hasn't earned my respect yet, so he doesn't get it. You show respect right up front.
Yep.
And that's how you earn respect from others.
Yes. You have, something you're talking about with the respect, I kind of think of it as a default baseline. You
mm-hmm.
have certain things. Treat everybody like they have a fully functional and effective intelligence quotient of at least 80 or above. Treat everybody
That's
like
right.
they have functional cognizance. They, you know, they can demonstrate it and all that. Treat them, here's a novelty concept, like you friggin' want to be treated.
Yeah.
Right off the bat. And then let the chips fall where they may.
Well, Jeff hasn't run into Jethro Bodine yet, but he will down there. It's coming.
Oh yeah, no question. Yeah. No, listen. I've been in the South since I was 8 years old. I've seen that crowd. I know exactly what you're talking
goodness.
About.
Oh my goodness. Well, I don't live far from you. I live in Ravenel, which is just outside of Charleston. So I'm closer to Walterboro.
Oh,
so, and my nephew works down at Paris Island on the base doing computers. He lives down in Beaufort, so it's pretty cool. I go down there, visit him, have fun down there. But, yeah, I've roamed that whole area. But, you know, they're everywhere down here. I mean, you got good people. You're in a good area, actually. And my nephew's in a great area, too. So but you still run into them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah. Let's get on it,
yeah.
Dave.
Amen.
Absolutely. Now,
yep.
Granny, Hulkster, I'm going to throw you under the bus for a quick moment. Now,
uh-oh.
Despite the fact that you are not a dad, because, of course, you know, we're all gender neutral now, so we're all it's and they's and everything.
Non-binary.
So, non-binary. I'm bipolar. It means I'll get it on with a penguin and a wolf.
You know, Dave. I was actually mom and dad to my son for 23 and a half years before I got remarried again. I was a single mom for 23 and a half years. I was married for 2.5 years.
We got you.
And
you wore both hats.
Yep.
The man that
you were
married to.
Parent.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
the man that I was married to, I mean, I don't regret having my son by any means, but if I had known some of the things that I found out, I probably would have never married. I know I would have never married him, and I probably would have never had a baby. So, I mean, that just being said, but no, my first husband was very abusive to me. I mean, he beat me up when I was 2 months pregnant, cheated on me the whole 2.5 years we were married. I left my husband when my son was 3 months old. And
good for you.
My dad was the only father figure that my son knew until the man I'm married to now came along into my life when we got together in 2003. So, you know, unfortunately, my first husband, he tried to contact my son saying that, send him a friend request on Facebook, tried to send him a message, mm-hmm. I am your biological father, I need to talk to you, yada, yada, yada. So I contacted my ex-brother-in-law and I said, why does he want to talk to Anthony? He doesn't even know Anthony. Anthony doesn't even know him. Well, long story short, my first husband ended up having stage 4 bone cancer and he was dying and he wanted to make his life right with God and right with my son after 30 plus years. My son is 34 years old now. He'll be 35 in January. And my son's like, why would I want to talk to a man I don't even know, you know? So I lost my dad in 2004. David and I had probably been, my husband David, Bert, and I had probably been dating about 8 months at the time. I ended up in the hospital with 2 blood clots in my right leg, and one of the clots broke loose and went to my lung while I was in the hospital. And they told me if I hadn't been in the hospital, I would have died. And my son was only a junior in high school at the time. So, you know, after my dad died, you know, David and I ended up getting married December 19th of 2009. And 2 weeks before we got married, Anthony called me one day. He says, Mom, he says, you know, Grandpa's gone. And I said, yeah, honey, I know. And he says, well, I've been thinking a lot about something, and I need to be the man to step up and give you away when you and David get married. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. You know, I was really happy that he wanted to do that. And then about a week before we got married, he called me one day. He says, do you think he would care if I start calling him Dad? I said, well, I don't think so. So he started calling David Dad before David and I ever got married, and he still calls him Dad to this day. And it was funny when we had we were part of a bipolar support group because my son has bipolar disorder. He was diagnosed with it when he was 11. And we always had a Christmas party at these people's house in Bella Vista. They had a beautiful, gorgeous home. And so we ended up having our wedding the night of that Christmas party. And Anthony, you know, they had this beautiful archway in their hallway. He walks me into the living room, and the preacher says, who gives this woman to this man to be married? And my son kind of just poofs out his chest. And he says, her son just, I mean, he was just like, he was like in his 20s. I mean, he was like, let's see, that was 2009. So he would have been, we'll be married 12 years. He was like 21, 22 years old when we got married. So, you know, something like that, you know, but he was just so proud, you know, that he gave me away to be married, you know, and they have a really good relationship with each other. And I'm just, I'm really blessed. I'm really blessed to have such a wonderful man to take care of me, support me, you know, because I certainly did not have that in my first marriage, because the night that my son was born, my first husband, he was down at the bar, and he told all of his buddies at the bar that there was no way that could be his baby because that baby had blonde hair. That was his excuse.
Oh, wow.
So,
wow.
You know.
But at least, yeah. At least your husband now has a great name, because he's David, I'm David, and David's right there.
Damn right. Hell yes. But you know, Granny,
all the
David, to my
all
point
the Davids
that,
are great dads.
Most of the time. But, you know, you had to shoulder the weight of both sides. You know, you were in, you said you were a single mom. You were a single parent. And
mm-hmm.
you had to be both sides of that coin. And, you know, and it takes one hell of a bunch of resolve in your heart and in your mind to be able to do that for as long as you did. And, you know, to
well,
your husband
especially
David's
for
credit,
the fact, yeah, especially to the fact, too, that when he was diagnosed with bipolar disorder at 11 years old, he had to go live in residential treatment facilities off and on throughout his middle-aged school year. I mean, he didn't go back into public schools. I mean, he was part of a therapeutic day treatment program through Ozark Guidance Center. He didn't even get back into the public school until he was, like, in the eighth grade. And, you know, he had a learning disability all of his life growing up. He was in resource all of his life. And, you know, I did the best that I could, you know, working, because I got no child support. I got no child support for him. And, you know, I did the best that I could, you know, with what I had.
And you've done a fine job. But, you know, a good example, though, and it is something that needs to be said, is that, you know, a lot of times you can learn just as much from a bad person as you can from a good person, because you will learn what not to do. And, you know, I hear you tell a story about, you know, Anthony's biological dad, and the whole time I'm rolling around in my head is that don't wait until the good Lord's fixing to take you off this earth to start making amends and to try to fix things. You've got to fix it now. You got to fix it today. And, you know, I know it's not the easiest thing, because there is sometimes in relationships some bad blood and everything. But, you know, speaking on my daughter, Lisa, you know, and we've spoken about how I can't stand using the term, because for my example, I did a lot more spending. I did a lot more crying. I did a lot more bleeding. And I did a whole hell of a lot more working raising Lisa than her dad ever did. And, you know, now she's got four children of her own, and we talk all the time. And though I wasn't the easiest dad in the world, because I was emulating what my dad had put forth for me. But she looks at it and she says, I get it, because she sees now through her children that all I wanted was nothing but the best for her and Rob. And sometimes it took me being a little on the, you know, meaner side than what I should have been, and or what I wanted to be. Every day with both of my children, I kept thinking, and still to this minute, for Christ's sake, is how can I do it better? How can I do it better tomorrow than what I did today? What did I do today that didn't work? And what did I do that did work that I can repeat with? And funny thing is, today we had a 55-inch screen TV bite the dust on us a month ago, and of course, you can't put one of those in the garbage can. You got to haul them to the dump. But here in Onslow County, they will charge you $19 to dispose of a television. Yes, believe that or not, $19 to throw away trash.
Wow.
So nevertheless, Rob bought me this wonderful, fantastic cordless screwdriver or cordless drill for father for my birthday in May. And I'll be damned if me and him didn't sit there and break down this TV with that cordless screwdriver and a couple of, you know, some bolt cutters and everything else, and broke this 55-inch Philips television down, and it is sitting comfortably in that garbage can that's rolled to the curb that I pay $35 a month to have to pick up.
Exactly.
I love
yeah.
it. Love it.
Again,
just
thing,
for the record,
you know?
It's going to the same dump.
Yeah, no kidding.
I
understand there are people that'll take some of that stuff because they know that they have I got a guy I know that looks for that stuff and repairs all that stuff. In fact, his daughter is like, "Dad, no more. We don't need another TV." He's like, "But honey, it's a 62-inch high-definition TV. It's got this, this, and this." And she's like, "Dad, I got a TV in every room of the house. I don't need another one. I don't care how many you repair." But there are some of those other options out there. But I'm with you, Dave, because, boy, that is a racket. They tell you you can't put it in the trash. And now, mind you, they have the automated lift, so it's not like they're inspecting. But
well, here in Oslo County, they actually take a picture of your vehicle.
The same dump.
Yeah, yeah.
At our dump, we have a bin that you put all broken electronics in, and they don't charge us anything. You put what you want to get rid of it, and we have a bin. Put it in there.
No kidding.
Yep.
Yeah, not Oslo County. The dump has become big business here in Oslo County, so I had a magic dad moment with my son this afternoon as we broke that damn thing down screw by screw.
That sounds fun.
And fit it into one roll up to the curb garbage can. Couldn't be
that's
any prouder
right,
of
baby.
It.
Exactly. I've got a funny story.
Who did that and then go
I've
for a flush hammer. Go.
Yeah, for sure. I've just got a funny story I wanted to share with you guys. You know, my son likes to tease me, and David really likes to agitate me big time because when we were dating, he says, "I only agitate you because I like you a lot." I said, "Well, baby, you must love me," because, I mean, he does it all the time. So when I have one or the other, you know, I can pretty much deal with it, you know, but when I have them both together, I don't stand a chance. And one day they were both with me. We were going somewhere. And I said, "This is not pick on mom day." And David says, "Every day is pick on mom day." And I said, "Well, what do you mean by that?" He says, "It's in the contract you signed." And I said, "The contract I signed?" Well, I said, "Baby, that goes both ways. That contract both goes both ways." You know? it's like every day is pick on mom day, you know. And, but I just wanted to share that funny story with you guys.
Listen, I want to live. It's not pick on mom day every day at my house.
So,
I want to live to see tomorrow.
Seriously.
So now,
we're looking
at about 5 minutes.
Today that I could... Say again?
Yeah, no, I was getting ready to bring it into the next segment. Go right on ahead.
Oh, okay. I did something today that I would not necessarily try at home. Yuki sent me a text. She was out on base at the pharmacy trying to get her meds. And she said, "Man, they only have two windows open." I said, "Honey, go over to the age 50 and over line." Because it was all funny when I used to get AARP and she didn't get it. But she gets it now, and she answered me back, "Wow," on the text. And I said, "Oh, it's funny when it's me." She was like, "That's right." But I know if I had tried that at home,
She'd have taken that purse where she keeps my boys and just slammed it on the dog's countertop. She sure would have.
Yikes.
If I the worst part is when she came up here and when we drove back, when I got to telework for 10 months from back home, which was like the most incredible blessing in the last four years. Look, I'm secure in my manhood because I know where it's always at. It's in my wife's purse.
From the freezer with the spare.
The problem is, when she left, she took my dentures, too.
Oh, damn.
Oh, no.
No corn on the cob for you, buddy.
None. Zero. So, we are almost to 10 o'clock.
Yeah, let's get on it. We ain't done it yet.
It has come to the time of tonight's Dad's Day special that I was looking forward to the most. And I would be a giant liar. Of course, I had mentioned how Jeff Lessing, I had noticed, I had seen him in dad action before and marveled at his ability to be one hell of an example for his children and everything. But, moreover, Jeff Lessie, if you have this gentleman on Facebook, he has got one nasty arsenal of dad jokes. So
his sense of humor is wicked. I was waiting, just hoping I could get home to send a response to one of his jokes, and he immediately countered fast. We all know wintertime. Throwing this out here, Jeff, you may or may not remember this. Most people will do the snow angels in there. There was a 90-degree angle in the snow. And I was like, ooh, ooh, ooh. I hope I can do this when I get back because I knew what I wanted to do. I was like, oh, Jeff, that's a cute joke, as in a cute angle. And he immediately replied, this is Jeff's humor. He immediately replied, are you trying to be obtuse?
Yes. And that is the reason why I was so tickled to death when Jeff got hold of me and said, hey, I'm in. What do I got to do to join you guys Wednesday night? Because I knew that we were going to have some rocking dad jokes. So, for the last 25 minutes of this broadcast, I want to throw some damn it dad jokes out there. So, I'm going to break the ice with one right off the bat, boys and girls. What happens to a frog when he parks illegally? He gets towed.
Nah.
God, I love it.
Yes. So,
nice.
Oh, I got a series of them. There's one of my favorite to teach my kids is you drive by a cemetery, you say, hey, why do they have a fence around the cemetery? I don't know, because people are dying to get in. the whole you're driving, you're on a road trip somewhere, and a good sized bug hits the window, and you ask the kids, hey, why won't that bug do that again? I don't know. It ain't got the guts.
You know what the last thing to go through a bug's mind when he hits your windshield is, right?
Yeah, his ass.
Butt. That's right.
Clearly, so you just heard the difference between a dad answering the kid and a Marine dad answering his kid.
Yeah, that's right.
You just
not
heard the difference. All right, so here was my parental advice to me when I started dating. My parents said, if you drink, drive, don't park, accidents cause people.
That's funny. Wow.
Nice.
Listen, early on, Chrissy and I decided early on we weren't going to have kids, and the kids took it pretty hard.
Right.
It was a tough conversation.
I love it.
It's amazing. We were so legit, legit talking all the way through, and we were really planning dad jokes. We are just getting to them. Oh man, that is awesome.
You know what's red and smells like blue paint? Red paint.
Pretty much.
Oh my God!
Now we were.
Hey, I was just going to say that reminds me of this one. What's brown and sticky? A stick.
You're so stupid.
Yeah.
I love it. Here's the best part, is we already know what these jokes are going to be, and we're still chuckling.
And they're still
playing. Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Hell yeah. Now, why ducks have tail feathers? Because it covers up their quack.
Todd asked me last week, matter of fact, he goes, who's your favorite vampire? I said, the one from the Muppet from Sesame Street. He goes, he doesn't count. I go, I assure you he does.
I did. I straight up told him. you might say I was a blood sucker.
This is for the youngins out there. How do you follow Will Smith in the snow? You follow the fresh prints.
Oh, I like it. And then you're getting older than youngins at this point. That is fun. Hey, does anybody remember the old Dr. Seuss book? I know we're probably not supposed to mention his name anymore, but they used to have like a little book of jokes. Some of them was, how do you want to watch time fly? Throw your clock out the window. What's big and red and rock, big red rock.
Yeah, I recall that.
I think that might maybe have been the original dad joke book.
You may be right.
It could have been. Yeah.
I got a really bad one if you want to hear it. I mean, it's not filthy.
Right?
It's just awful. Here you go. Why do seagulls fly over the ocean?
Why's that?
Because if they flew over the bay, we'd call them bagels. Boy, that was pretty bad.
Bagels. Damn.
But we don't call them ocean gulls. I mean, there's a
right.
little gap in your joke, but it still works.
It's okay. I told you it was bad.
Listen, if you're going to start picking apart these jokes, we're gonna go downhill fast. You gotta
Todd. It's a joke,
oh,
man.
Look, I tried to start a professional hide and seek team, but it turned out good players were hard to find.
Ah, I like that one.
I like it.
Oh, that was good.
What did the zero say to the eight?
What was that?
Come on, Todd. Come on, Tom. What did the zero say to the eight?
Oh, Lord. I'm afraid to ask, but I don't know. What did the zero say to the eight?
That belt looks good on you.
Oh.
That brings me to this. If you've ever heard, listen, I'm not trying to pick on anybody or degrade anybody, but I've been in some clothing stores as of late recently, and it's crazy to watch what some of these girls are wearing or trying to wear. And I'm in the shop with my daughter, and it's like, oh, Lord have mercy. I said, I'm leaving. I'm going to go sit in the car. So anyway, I came up. You know what S, M, and L stands for, right? Small, medium, and large. Not in the
right.
store I was at. The store I was at was S stood for stick, M stands for malnourished, and L is just little.
What the hell?
Dude, I went into a Rue, American Eagle or was it Rue? American Eagle, okay. I'm standing at the table, and this black guy comes up, he works there, he goes, you doing all right? You need some help? I said, nah, I'm just waiting on my daughter. And I had my hand on a stack of jeans. I wasn't paying attention. So I looked down, see the price on the jeans, and went, holy crap. And then I saw the size. Double zero. Who is a double zero? A skeleton? I mean, what the heck? I was like, holy crap. If I saw somebody coming in with a double zero pair of pants on, I'd be like, what the? Go ahead.
Yeah, what do you do with that?
I'm guessing the yoga pants lobby submitted that the jeans lobby or that the jeans makers made that size.
Listen,
I am guessing that the yoga pants were stretched to their limit.
listen, if a double zero could find a pair of yoga pants to stay up, it'd be a miracle.
Yeah. It's yoga pants are active wear for inactive people. And,
That's a great one, too. All right, back to the dad jokes, please.
Dad jokes.
I get beat up by
Jeff
people.
Hit me with a dad joke. I know you got a list of them. Go ahead and hit me. You're the guest tonight. Hit me up with some dad jokes.
I was listening to Granny talk before about her son and how she and David were more of a father than his father was, and it kind of hit me because there was a point in my life where I told my son he was adopted, and he said, I want to meet my biological parents. And I said, we are your biological parents, but get packed because your new parents are going to be here in a minute.
I like it.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, man.
We're talking about bad advice.
We were talking about bad advice before.
Go ahead.
You got it.
So we were talking about dad advice before, and I told my daughter, I said, listen, you just say no to drugs. And she said, Dad, if I'm talking to drugs, I've already said yes.
There is that.
Youngins are way too
I got, this one's for Todd. I got one for Todd. You ready, Todd?
Yes, sir.
Todd recently told me he got carded at the liquor store, and his Blockbuster card accidentally fell out. The cashier said, never mind.
Let's ride.
No, in all seriousness, I will give Indiana credit. They do not care if you are buying alcohol. It does not matter how geriatric you are, you will produce an ID.
I think
what is good about that is how can the young people complain if me with my walker and I got that big earphone piece like Artie Johnson from Will and Martin, where I'm trying to listen to the test here. So if I'm going through that line doing that and I got to produce my ID, the young person can't complain. So I think that's a really, no kidding, it's actually a good deal. Right. It's a good deal.
Todd, the fact that you just made an Artie Johnson reference means I don't need to card you.
Exactly, right? Dude.
Yeah, who's Artie Johnson?
If he just said Abe Bogota, I would have been like, I got to hang up.
Check it out.
No, I.
Yep.
Seriously, now there was a guy that used to come through the Sam's Club that looked exactly like Abe Bogota. Dave remembers Liz. I grabbed Liz and I was like, dude, tell me that ain't Abe Bogota. But he died like 2 years ago. And we went over and looked at it, and he was like, oh my God. You could have taken the fish out of my mouth for that one.
Little TV joke there. Nice.
That was good. That was good.
Nice. Right. Now, a couple of years back, I had left Rob with, I knew I was going to have a long day, and I had asked Rob, I says, dude, I think Rob was probably about 16, 17 years old, and I said, look, I'm going to get home late tonight. It's going to be one of those, like, get home, got to sleep for 3 or 4 hours, go right back into work. So I ain't going to have time to screw with some stuff. If you don't do nothing else today, can you just make sure the damn trash gets to the curb? Because otherwise, you know, just I got to be able to pull up in the driveway, go straight to the shower, straight to bed, up, back in the shower, back to work type thing. So if you don't do nothing else right today, just make sure that trash gets to the curb for me. He said, yeah, Pop, no problem. So, you know, 17, 18-hour work day goes by. I pull up, and I'm already thinking about tomorrow. I mean, I'm already in tomorrow mode, and I pull up, and trash can sitting up against the house. I was like, I will be damned. So I pull up, and I guess he heard the truck pull up, and then all of a sudden the light bulb went off over his head, right? And he throws on his boots. By this time, I've already dragged the trash can to the curb, okay? And he meets me out there at the curb and says, Dad, hey, my bad. I totally forgot. And, man, I just laid into him. And, I mean, I wasn't mean about it. But, I mean, I was just dead serious about it. And I says, you know, I asked for one thing, one simple thing. I don't care what you did. You could have burned down the house today. All I needed was for you to get this damn trash can to the curb for me. And I don't know what tied you up so bad today that you couldn't do this 30-second job. I said, but I'm telling you, this is the kind of crap I can't have. And I asked so little, I should get something in return. And he goes, Dad, and I start walking back towards the house. I just left him standing there, right? He goes, Dad, it was an accident. I turned around and I said, yeah, well, so were you.
Oh!
And,
dude.
And we busted out laughing, and still to this day, Rob talks about that. Now it's a big joke between us about, you know, whatever, I'll say something to him. He goes, Dad, it's an accident. Yeah, so were you. Thank you. Wonderful crowd. Sometimes dad jokes can come out of the worst situations, you know what I mean? And that's the good thing. And, again, that's another thing about being a dad, is that you're able to take a bad and turn it into a good. And make a pretty decent dad joke in the meantime.
Yes,
so, I like it.
If two vegetarians get into a fight, is it still going to be?
Once more?
If two vegetarians get into a fight, is it still called a beef?
Ah, I like it. I like
Uh-oh.
It. I'm trying to... Well, no, but it might be a pickle.
Ooh, very good. Now, while we're on the vegetable scene, President Obama... What do you think his favorite vegetable is? Get ready.
Joe Biden.
Drum roll, please. Broccoli. Yes.
I like
telling
it.
You.
Well, this isn't really this isn't really a dad joke, but it's kind of funny. When my son was born, my dad says, "Well, I think I'll call him Oscar." And I said, "Oscar?" I said, "His name's Anthony." Because, you know, it was about the time of the, you know, Academy Awards or Emmy Award or whatever. And my dad says, "Well, it's better than calling him an Emmy Award." But I just find that kind of funny. But for the longest time, that's all everybody called Anthony was Oscar. And I said, he's going to grow up thinking his name is Oscar instead of Anthony. But, you know, Oscar, I said, where did you get the name Oscar? And he says, well, it's better than calling him an Emmy Award.
Well, that explains why he's a grouch.
There you go.
Nice. Can you tell me how to get the Sesame Street? Yes, sir. Outstanding. So now, as much fun as we're having, we're at the quarter hour. I know it, and things are going way too smooth. And I'm going to go on and say, we didn't get enough of Jeff Lessie tonight. So, brother, I know you're a very, very, very busy guy. But I want to throw the open invite, and now we don't have to do it covert. You're more than welcome to join us anytime you want. And
yes, please.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
And come on and get in on the conversations and everything, because Lord knows we do a little bit of everything.
Oh,
and
I have to give him the warning though. Okay, Jeff, you have to understand this. If anything's going wrong, in the podcast and you feel like you're unsafe or you just don't like what's going on, our safety word is midget porn.
Yes.
That's a true story.
Yes.
It is.
Midget porn is a safe word.
Is our safe
and
word.
Just make sure you're alone. Yeah, make sure you're by yourself when you shout that. We don't want to cause any type of, marital issues or anything.
You don't need a frying pan upside the head, sir.
Well, listen.
And you never can tell when you're at a police convention and want to yell something like that. So, yeah, most certainly.
When you pick a safe word, you're supposed to pick a word I'm not likely to say, and I'm afraid that doesn't cut it.
Right, exactly. I mean, if Tim had been on the line, he can vouch for that.
No doubt. Well, look,
so
I got to tell you.
Sadly for Tim, that's what she calls his wedding tackle.
Oh, Lord. All right, let Jeff say what he's got to say.
No, all I was going to say is you just reminded me that I went to the doctor once. I had to go to the doctor once because I thought I was shrinking, and the doctor said, you're just going to have to be a little patient.
Very well.
I thought my clothes were shrinking. It was the refrigerator the whole time. Yes, the dad jokes are still coming, baby.
I'm telling you, man. It is frightening how we can load up on these dad jokes, man. And the damnest thing about it, you know, sometimes we do the show and 90 minutes is kind of like, are we going to make it? I think we can do it because we're running out of gas at like the 38-minute mark. But then there are shows like tonight where you're going, Jesus, I don't want this to end, you know? So, but truth be told, we've been on a roll lately, man. The last half dozen, eight shows have been really spot on here lately. So, we haven't had any lulls in the action so far.
No lag, baby.
More than welcome
back.
Hey, I
want to throw this out before we – I'd like to throw something out before we get too far to follow the dad state thing. One of the things that is most humbling, my son
spent even at this point close to half of his life while I was on active duty. And it is one of the most humbling, amazing things to have a nearly 29-year-old man still to this day. He makes sure when we close a phone conversation, he says, "I love you, Dad."
I hear you.
Awesome.
I don't know. Ain't no ever going to say it right. I'm just saying.
Yep.
Garen, love you. You're a big part of what makes me what I am today. You kind of unusual. Just saying.
Yeah, most definitely, man.
Well,
and both of your children are fantastic.
I want to share a little something quick, kind of on that same line with about my daddy. I mean, growing up, my daddy, you know, he didn't show his affections. You know, he wasn't like a huggy-huggy type person, but we knew that he loved us for what he did for us, you know. And then my son came along, and my son would always tell him, "Grandpa, I love you," you know, and he'd say, "I love you too," and he'd give him a hug, you know, and everything. And my dad actually got to see pictures of my son in a cap and gown, you know, because he didn't make it to 2005 when Anthony graduated from high school, you know. So Anthony was like the first grandson. So him and my dad were like two peas in a pod. I mean, they were very close. And when my daddy got really, really sick and we had to bring hospice in for him, I remember one day I was sitting on this hospital next to him on the bed, his hospital bed, talking to him. And, you know, he was just saying things that just really didn't make any sense, you know, and asking where my mom was. And she was actually taking care of signing final papers on getting their double wide sold at Holiday Island, you know, where they used to live in Arkansas and everything. And I'd say, "Daddy, you know, everything's okay. You know, Mom, you know, just go to sleep." And I remember I kissed him on his cheek and I said, "Daddy, I love you." And he grabbed my hand and squeezed my hand and he said, "I love you too." And that's something that I'm never going to forget, because the next day at 7:15 in the morning, you know, he took his last breath, you know, and you know, the pain and suffering, you know, was over with. He didn't have to suffer anymore, because he suffered a long time with health issues. And, you know, it was very difficult, you know, because I was really close to my daddy. I was very close to my daddy. And when I lost my dad, I didn't get to grieve like I needed to, because I was trying to be strong for my mom. I was trying to be strong for my son. David was being strong for me, but, you know, I didn't get to have that grieving time about my daddy, you know, for a very long time. And it was very, very difficult for me, you know, for a couple of months, you know, till I finally was able to get that time where I finally could just let everything go and do my grieving the way I needed to do my grieving. But, you know, that's just something that I'm never going to forget, you know, that he kissed me back on my cheek and squeezed my hand and told me that he loved me. So,
Granny, that was awesome. Thank you for the Father's Day bottom up perspective.
Yep.
Wow. I'll share this. Actually, I'll make a quick little bit of a speech and then I'll shut up so you can close this thing out if you need to. But, there's a song that I heard early on by the Bare Naked Ladies, and it's only three lines in the whole song, and it goes like this: "There are things that make me sad, but you are not one of them. And there are things that make me mad, and you're not one of them. But there are things that make me dad, you seem to be all of them." And that's been bouncing around in my head for the past 17 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
so awesome. Granny Hulkster, you are a delight, and it has been a pleasure to meet you tonight. Velvet, if you are ever down in my neck of the woods, let me know. We'll go over to the Oakley Ale House and you know, get a beverage of choice.
Can't drink, so.
That was rooted on purpose. The way it
no,
was.
No, you're good. You're good.
Todd, you are. It's been too long, but if I hadn't seen you for a day, it had been too long. It's great to chat with you again. And David, I will absolutely take you up on your offer. This has been a hoot and an honor, and I very much appreciate you asking me to be on.
Yeah,
well, it was
a pleasure getting to talk
with you, Jeff, as well. So I really enjoyed it. And thank you for those kind words.
Definitely. And, you know, your name comes up regularly. And as we, you know, we carry on week for week and everything, and Todd will attest to it. I don't know how many times we've spoken during the show and then, of course, after the show. And it's always been like, damn, we got to get Jeff on the show because we know that you're one of those guys that can put a lot into it. And you're one heck of a good guy, and thank the world of you and the family and everything. And man, it was really, really good to have you on this evening. And can't thank you enough. And like I said, open invite, man. I know you're a busy, busy guy. I know you got your hands full, but in the event you ever want to join in, you ain't got to ask. All you got to do is send me a note and say, hey, keep an eye out. And it's the same number I gave you. All you do is just dial in, I click in, and the rest is history. And we've done everything from wrestling to conspiracy theories to, Dr. John's favorite, the damn Bigfoot, and all that kind of jazz.
That was great.
financial advisors and everything. Let me throw this out there for Jeff, because I found this concept on the panel previously. All right, Jeff, I had this concept of, so I was married to a Comic-Con star.
Yes.
And in most cases, they're the ones. I would love to have your input on the concept of being the tag-along on the Comic-Con circuit.
You know, that's a good question. So this is actually the way I look at it. First of all, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, the people that we've met at cons, Chrissy and I, and I include you guys. In fact, at this point, I include everybody on this conversation because it's all because of cons. The fact that I'm here, even talking to you now, friends with Dave, friends with Todd, and now friends with you, Granny and Velvet, all of it is from cons. And so that kind of feeling, we would have never had that experience. And I'll include Rob in that and Dr. John and a lot of the regulars who aren't here tonight. We've also got to meet some really amazing people. Dango, and Michelle. And I'm not going to go into that story right now. Because I'll have a cats in the cradle moment, but all of it has been amazing, and I will never ever stop thanking my wife for becoming famous enough to allow me to follow her on that journey. It's like being what I equate it to, Todd, is this, and this is a very Comic-Con thing to say, but I equate it to being like the sidekick of a famous superhero. You get to be there, you get to be all up in the action, and sort of ride those coattails and just have fun with it. I think it's fantastic. I think it's one of the best things we've ever done.
He's Robin.
Yeah.
He's the boy wonder.
That's right.
Well,
what's funny is that's my wife's nickname for my, for the wedding tackle.
Great. Whoops. I have to find another one. You can't be Aquaman because Todd's already claimed that one.
That's right. The bubbles are blowing.
Yeah, and we don't want to smell them. Don't pop them, please. Thank you.
But, you know, the cons is actually family because it's And I tell you, if there's one thing, and it's funny, and I know we're in extra innings already, you know, Jeff, if you recall, the first show that I ever did was beside you guys. And I had heard of Chrissy's books. I hadn't read Chrissy's books yet, but I had heard of them. And so, of course, you know, me doing the first con, and I'm going, uh-oh, man, I've got this, you know, author from Moorhead City. She's got these books. Oh, Christ. Okay, you got to stay cool, Atwell. You got to stay cool, you know. And we set up, and lo and behold, you set up next to me. And I'm thinking, okay, whatever you do, don't say anything stupid. Don't do the old Peter Griffin where you say, you know, hi, my name's Carol. Would you like a dry Peter? You know, one of those things. Don't say that. You know, just keep your head screwed on straight. And we get to the con, and I get set up, and me and you get to shoot in the breeze. And I don't know how far into the show we got when you stopped and said, hey, Dave, this is my wife, Chrissy. And I was like, oh, hey. It just totally because, you know, and, you know, it was one of those things where, and to Jeff's credit, he made me feel so at ease because he was just being himself, being the guy that he is and everything. And from that point forward, I mean, we've been up, down, back and forth. And, you know, as you had mentioned, Dango, you know, he just celebrated a birthday riding the spirit horse this last, you know, the past week and everything. He's near and dear to us.
That's right.
And, you know, it's just been great. And the thing about cons is that you, you become family. And it wasn't too long ago that Chrissy had set up at GalaxyCon in Raleigh, which if you haven't been to one of those, well, they call them GalaxyCon now. They used to be called SuperCon. But it's an absolute zoo. It's exhausting. And if there's one good thing that's going to come out of COVID is perhaps these cons will start kind of acknowledging space a little better than what they used to when it comes down to their planning and everything. But nevertheless, that's a different show. But Chrissy was set up at GalaxyCon, and I was just exhausted. I mean, I had been bounced between a couple 400-pound people too many times, and I had some gear in my hand that I'd been carrying around, and I got up there to the table, and I looked at Jeff, and I said, brother, can I drop this stuff off with you under your table? And, I mean, it was imposing of me to do it, and it was desperate and imposing, I'll fully admit it, because I was just totally just exhausted. And I'll be damned if Jeff didn't stop right there and was like, right on, man, hand it here. And he took everything I had in my hand, put it under the table that Chrissy was working her book series from, and said, go sit down. And that is what family's all about. And it's that kind of stuff right there that that you don't forget. It's that kind of stuff right there that shows the true color of people. And I will forever be in debt for that alone. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, man, it was certainly great talking to you tonight. It's been way too long. And,
amen.
Dude, you have got to join us when we're in here talking about the conspiracies and all that, because I'm here to tell you, I know you would have fun, plus I know you would bring a lot to the table. So open invite. I can't tell you enough. It was great having you on this evening. And I hope everybody has a wonderful, fantastic Father's Day Dad's Day bash.
Happy Dad's Day to all the dads out there.
Thank you.
Yes.
It's just lonely right here. I wish that lovely young paper boy would bring me some good news.
Can I do my usual clothes?
Yeah, go run on ahead.
If you can.
Please.
right. Take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. Be smart. Stay safe.
Absolutely.
Be
beautiful. And, you know, it would probably be wrong, and I know we're running long here, but nevertheless, Jeff, if you don't mind, just for to make sure my hide stays on my skeleton, how about dropping the plug for your wife's wonderful book series for me? Because in the event that we run up on one another again and Chrissy says, you did a podcast and you didn't promote the books, I am just covering my tracks, so please.
Yeah, because he'll have to use a safe word for a long time after that if you don't.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. I think if I didn't, I wouldn't have to use the safe word because, you know, when you're in that big traction suit, you're pretty well covered. But, I will say that anywhere books are sold, you can find Chrissy Lessie's Crystal Coast series, including The Coven, The Hunted, and The Beacon, an excellent series of books that revolve around a group of witches living secretly in Beaufort, North Carolina. And then
Beaufort, not Beaufort.
Nope.
Oh, North Carolina.
Yeah.
It is different in North Carolina.
Yeah. Keep your Spanish pronunciation to yourself. Yep, we use the French up north. It's about witches living in Beaufort. It's an excellent modern-day paranormal series, and you can also get The Secret Keepers, which is a historical backstory piece that shows the prequel to the whole story. ChrissyLessie.com, that's ChrissyLessie.com.
Nice.
Or just look her up wherever books are sold.
Awesome. Very good.
Outstanding. And it is an excellent series of books, boys and girls. So if you get a chance, pick it up. Or if you're at a con and you see Chrissy around, just talk to Jeff because Jeff sells more books. Jeff has probably sold more books for myself than I have for myself. So, if for no other reason, to hell with me and Chrissy. Just come up and say hello to a super guy like Jeff Lessie for crying out loud. So, yeah,
cool.
I can't thank you enough for joining us tonight, man. It just totally made the week for me.
Can I plug something for a friend?
Please do.
Yes.
Yep. So speaking of books, when you're in that bookstore looking up my wife's books, look for and find The Hunger series by Dave Atwell, which is amazing. It is an amazing take on zombies and the Old West. It is fantastic. A great series. I enjoyed it three times through that series already.
Cool.
Yay. See what I'm talking about? I'm going to go look that book up,
brother.
Because of what Jeff said. I'm telling you, the guy is amazing. This guy could sell catsup to a chick in a wedding dress, man. I mean, I don't know how he does it.
That's funny.
I once sold barbecue ribs to a woman wearing white gloves.
All right. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm telling you, it's just absolutely awesome stuff, man. I certainly appreciate that, Jeff. And like I said, give the best to the family. I missed you guys. And, we need to get back together soon. There is a certain event going on in Myrtle Beach that I was going to hit y'all up with, but I know the move was going on. I'm still on the fence whether I'm going to make it or not. But in the event that you're game, please let me know, and I will pass on the info to you because it'd be good to get a little Jeff time in.
Listen,
not to the rest of the family.
We will look it over. Yeah.
Cool. Seeing you right down the road now, a little further down the road what it used to be.
Yeah, absolutely. So, just in the other direction is all.
Yeah, just heading the other way. All right, so what I'm going to do is I am back in the Atwell Manor here, and I'm about to cue in the obnoxious British lady that's going to cut off the broadcast this evening. So, yeah, that bitch. But one wish. I still don't like her. Nevertheless, happy Dad's Day to everybody. You guys be safe. Don't
happy
burn
Dad's
yourself
Day.
On the grill. Don't roll your ankle in your new Balance shoes. Just have a great Dad's Day. And take every minute in because it goes way too quick, boys and girls. So, yeah, Jeff, thank you a million times for coming out this evening, brother. Very good to hear from you. Pass on the best to the crowd. And we will
Missing
see
it
you
all
every
thank
double
you.
Down on that.
Yeah,
most
certainly.
Big thanks, Jeff. Big thanks, brother. You, Chrissy, the kids, be safe. Take care. Big hug.
Thanks, Todd. You too, buddy.
Most definitely. And that'll be it from Pop Culture Stars. You all have a good evening. Be careful. Be safe.
And be
and
safe.
Be
yep.
sane. See you soon.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Wait for the. Thank you for talking Blog Talk Radio. Good night.